Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the dominion of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths of the Lord.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. With a winnowing fork in hand, he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let's start with Paul's words, which are a good theme for the whole of the Advent season. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Are you filled with hope? Are you feeling hopeless? Despite the great distance in time between Jesus' time and John's time and ours, or even St. Matthew's time of writing, which is some 40 years later after Jesus arrived, between that great difference in time between then and now, there is a commonality. And I'll point to the theme of hope as that common theme. There is hope that we long for in our hearts. Israel at the time, if you recall, was occupied. They were an occupied nation that was feeling the oppression of the Romans. Furthermore, the society in general suffered from deep poverty. Most of the folks who were out there in the wilderness visiting with John were peasants who perhaps had lost their land, who were hoping just to get by day to day. There was a great longing for hope, for to have life. I was listening to the radio yesterday, just as examples of how we are longing for hope. There were many tragedies throughout the world. The two that came to the airwaves yesterday were the situation in Yemen, where so many refugees, particularly women and children, are perishing for lack of food, some of which gets over there but is not allowed to be distributed. One of the lines was from the people, "Are you bringing us hope or not?" The second story was about Syria, and we think of all the bombing going on in Aleppo and other places. But I also thought of our own country at this particular time, and I think it's a fact, regardless of what your political, I was going to say religious, it's like that, isn't it? Your political proclivities are, this last election was about hope. It may have been defined in different ways, but it was about hope. So, We're in this season of Advent. Advent is a time of hope. Hope looks to the future, and future is about life. Now, God's hope for the future is life for all people. That's what has come near in our lesson today, according to John. A realm, a community in which all have life. This type of community has come near, John says. Indeed, has arrived in the person of Jesus. How he behaves toward other people. How he welcomes all with healing and peace. How he speaks for God. John is out there in the wilderness baptizing all people into such an inclusive community of and for life. And is calling for repentance, calling for a change of mind and heart, a change from the old ways, a change from basing life and community and hope on the exclusion of others and the protection of power and power over others, to a new mindset, a new heart, a new community, to Jesus' own attitude of bringing life to all whom he valued, whom he accepted, and whom he forgave. John challenges the representatives of the great political parties of his time. They are identified as the Pharisaic Party and the Sadducee Party. Challenges them to incorporate a new mind, a new heart, a new community, a new way of living, to repent, to change, to work toward a more inclusive understanding of community and nation, of God's own community. Do not, John says, presume to say, we have Abraham as our ancestor. I was thinking a modern corollary would be, do not presume, sisters and brothers, to say that we have Western European ancestors that guarantee our righteousness. Beware the axe is at the root. For a community based upon exclusion and imbalance of wealth and life will surely fall. And that community itself will have laid the axe at the root. John announces something new, something hopeful, something, someone more powerful even than John is coming. Something more powerful than even a prophet calling for repentance. This new one, this coming one, Jesus, who baptizes with fire and the Holy Spirit, is one who is able to burn away the old husk, the chaff of our fallen existence. And as I read this passage, I don't read it as Jesus separating out people, but separating out chaff and fallenness from each of us, so that we live renewed as new people with new minds and new hearts. These old communities, these old ways based upon prejudice, exclusion, and death will never rise again. That is, they will burn forever. These ways are not meant to return. They perish forever. The baptism of spirit and fire brings new life, new community, new hearts. The inbreaking, the busting in of God's future is alive eternally in this welcome into God's hope, God's future, God's life, which has shown up among us in the person of Jesus the Christ. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about John, whom we recognize this day and we kind of devote this section of Advent to, is that he knew and confessed and proclaimed that one more powerful than he had arrived. And make no mistake, John himself was an incredible, powerful man. He was a political and religious force for all the electorate, All the people were flooding out to see him. He could have, if he had wanted to, had he been unfaithful, he could have accrued all of these folks to his own power, to his own political party and understanding. But he did not. He knew that one more powerful, more faithful was coming. That was a truth that most, indeed all, of Jesus' opponents refused to recognize. And if we examine our own hearts, it is a truth that all of us at some point or another have not accepted, trusting in our own powers, our own wisdom for how things ought to be. Jesus' power, his identity, was also a truth that he did not choose to exploit. As we read through in this year of Matthew, as we read through that story, as he presents it, as we journey with Matthew and John and Jesus and all the characters in the gospel, we will see that all temptations are designed for Jesus to be taken up by and with his own power, to reject God's purpose and mission for him, to see in his own abilities, in his own strength, his purpose. Jesus' divinity and his true power lies in his loyalty, in his faithfulness to God's plan, to God's preferred future, to use a phrase. God's hope for the future is life for all. To that, Jesus was faithful in birth, in life, in ministry, in death, in resurrection. In Advent, we take hope in Jesus' birth. Today, in the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist is calling for us to take hope in Jesus' ministry of bringing life to all whom he encounters. Ultimately, we take hope in the cross, because it is there that Jesus is completely loyal to God and to us for life. For on the cross, Jesus bears both our personal and all systemic actions that bring death to people and communities and foreclose hope in the hearts of those who cry out. On the cross, these things die forever, burn forever, if you will. And new life rises in and with him for us in forgiveness, in the promise of life, and in the calling to bring life and hope to others. Indeed, we are in the season of Advent. Advent is a time of hope. Hope looks to the future, and the future is always about life. God's hope for the future is life for you and for all people. Amen.